And we're back. Hour two starts just as hour one ends. It's like clockwork. It's magic. It works every week like that. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and that's Al Perkins.
Hi.
We round out the cast of the show each and every week right here on Q-Talk America. In case you missed it, we just had a surprise visit from the one and only Barbara Seville and Company. They are raising money for AIDS Walk. Our AIDS Walk in Phoenix is this coming Sunday morning.
October 22nd.
Kat Carlson is the number two fundraiser on the Barbara Seville team, so you can help her out by going to katcarlson.com. You can still register from all around the world, anywhere, rubles even. We'll take rubles. If Russia's listening, we'd take them.
All right, yeah,
because they'd be swaying the winner, and I think that is how they like
to
do things. It's headlines coming at you right now on Q Talk. McDonald's managed to piss off boatloads of Rick and Morty fans by not having enough Szechuan sauce last Saturday, but one Michigan woman has the sweet taste of victory. Rachel Marie of Macomb not only managed to snag one of the 20 packets of super rare sauce, I guess these are sauce for nuggets, she also managed to parlay it into a car. The 23-year-old graphic designer is a huge fan of Rick and Morty, which is an animated feature on TV, which featured the condiment as a key plot device in the season 3 premiere, which aired this past April. In the episode series, lead Rick Sanchez declares it is his life mission to get the sauce, which was made in 1998 to promote the Disney animated feature Mulan. Since then, fans have craved the sauce, including Marie. She says, quote, "When McDonald's said they were bringing it back, I thought it would be cool to get the sauce," she told Huffington Post. The 23-year-old graphic designer drove 45 minutes to Detroit early in the morning and waited for hours until the sauces became available around 2 p.m. that day. She says by the time that happened, there were hundreds of people waiting, she said, and the line snaked around the building. The McDonald's location only had 20 packets available. But both Marie and one of her friends were among the lucky tastemakers who got the sauce. Now, I was tempted to try it while watching the episode, she said. That is until she got the idea to post the photo of the sauce packet on Pin Nation, which is apparently a Facebook group dedicated to trading pins. There was actually a large response with some nice pins, she told the Business Insider, but if I could get a car, she thought, why not ask? So what'd she do? The driven negotiator managed to find a person willing to trade the single packet of sauce for a 2000 Volkswagen Golf. He drove the car over to me so that I knew it was running, she said. And without revealing the man's name, he was a dedicated fan of the show, and he already owned a second car, so didn't need this one. Business Insider interviewed the man, who did not want his name used in the story. He justified the seemingly imbalanced trade by telling the outfit he just needed some friggin' sauce. The Golf is currently in the shop getting souped up for a car show for Marie. She definitely made the deal at the right time because many fans were angry for having to wait hours with little to no chance of getting the sauce, as that McDonald's location, again, had only about 20 packets. So this girl traded a fucking thing for a car.
That is crazy.
It's one of those little packets of sauce like you'd have for those chicken nuggets from McDonald's. That's why she traded for a whole car.
That is... Wow. This is a problem.
Can I mention a chicken nugget
in
story?
There's the packet on the left for those of you watching, and there she is with the car on the right.
That's fucked up.
That a girl.
But wow. Yeah, well played.
Yeah.
Well played, you. Seriously.
You had a chicken nugget story?
So
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I was commenting the other day because very often when all has gone wrong in the place that I work, cafeteria, you are left with just chicken fingers and all the other the attempted murder cafe specialties of fried foods and ranch dressings. And I was saying that everybody was like, well, they're pretty good. I'm like, are they? Like, no, they're not. So then I was like, not like chicken nuggets. And somebody said, well, chicken nuggets kind of suck. And I had to admit that I have no experience here. I haven't had a chicken nugget since I was probably 17 years old.
That's a long chicken nugget drought.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm thinking it's still in his body somewhere.
None the poorer for it, exactly.
Yes.
Well, you know, I've taken...
Oh, is that your whole story?
Yeah.
I thought there was more.
No, that it turns out chicken nuggets is not something I have experienced for, like, over 30 years. Like, that's a long fucking time.
It's right. A long time.
By the way, you're not missing anything. Still tastes like chicken.
I said none the poorer for it. Yeah.
I enjoy, like, a homemade chicken nugget. Like, get some chicken breast and cut it up and, you know, eggs and
because you've breeded the chicken, you know what happened to it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I breeded the chicken?
But we have these new places. Culver's, are they called? No.
Oh, Cane's.
Cane's is the chicken place.
They specialize only in chicken things.
Yep.
Well, isn't that how KFC started?
Well, no, but it's not like a chicken. It's just chicken things. It's just like chicken fingers chicken
and
strips.
Fries.
Yeah,
nuggets.
And fries. Yeah, there's no like, you can't find a whole goddamn chicken there to save your life. But I got to tell you, whatever that buttermilk batter is they're selling is delicious.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Cane's a big supporter of our show.
Yeah.
Now.
They should be. We have these weird potlucks at work where everybody brings in their favorite something.
Okay.
And then one day somebody had like a barbecue thing and somebody brought in Cane's?
Cane's.
Uh-huh. Chicken fingers, like a box of 50. Oh my God. We were like, it almost turned into a race riot. Yeah. Like we were after each other.
I've heard like it's like crack in it.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Good and
delicious.
Well.
Huh.
And I like that I hate buttermilk, but I love everything with buttermilk in it.
You know what goes well with chicken nuggets?
Do tell.
Whiskey.
Oh!
Each year, Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible announces the best whiskey of the year. Now, first of all, two things. Number one, didn't know there was a Whiskey Bible.
Yeah, nope.
Number two, didn't know they gave out awards.
Oh!
This is brand new information.
Now, would knowing these two bits of information earlier in life really change much for you?
I might have drank better whiskeys. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just asking for a friend.
Oh, you can't do cheap whiskey. We can all agree on that one fact.
What's that?
You can't do cheap whiskey.
Oh, no.
Nuh-uh.
No. Shouldn't. Never should.
Probably could.
We're gonna deviate just a little bit to tell more stories about my life. So the wedding that I went to this weekend.
Unreal.
They decided, so my cousin and her now husband are like I don't want to say weird gym freaks.
I'll put the food down.
But they, did not see that coming.
But they literally opened their own gym this year.
Oh. This week.
Not this week, this year. So they decided to not have, at their wedding, a cake of any kind.
Who are these people?
And decided, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say weird gym freaks, but...
We're not listening.
That's the word that's been...
Yeah. I'm not into the cake, but you better put out some goddamn motherfucking cake if I go to a wedding.
But why isn't there a cake? So they decided to, you know, they kind of looked at traditional wedding things.
They put out kale, I swear to Jesus.
Threw a bunch of it up at the wall.
Okay.
And not much of it stuck. And so they decided in lieu of any kind of cake ceremony, there was to be a shot. And so they passed out.
Oh, I'm back on board all of a sudden.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you how thrilled my parents and grandparents were, though. The 20-somethings that were part of their like friend attendees were thrilled and hammered by the end of the night. We're picking them all up off the floor.
You got to have a little small cake for the grandparents.
You got to have a little something for grandparents.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll come back full circle. Your two shot options were whiskey. Blech. Or tequila.
Blech.
Ooh.
God, I know.
That's an angry wedding.
Ooh, yeah. These are not the drinks of people you all, yeah.
So perhaps my cousin should have read this article prior to her wedding.
Oh, because a preamble, if you will. I did not know where that was going. Wow.
See how I was
going
back? I segued into the story.
Train got into the station.
Back in.
Holy shit.
So in case you're wondering, this year's Whiskey of the Year is a Buffalo Trace... Colonel E.H. Taylor 4 grain. It has scored a 97 out of 100 on the Murray scale.
Sure, Murray. Sure. Murray!
Here's what I want to do. I want to have my own Bible of something, and then I want to name the scale after myself. These are goals that I'm writing down.
And then
in
I want
to
yell Murray at four different levels into a microphone.
Murray!
Murray! That's a 4 Murray whiskey! I don't disagree.
The E.H. Taylor 4 grain has been described as having, quote, one of the most wonderful noses on this planet, end quote, referring to the alcohol's aroma.
Yeah, I got that.
I should hope so, because otherwise, weird.
What?
Weird.
Or just
Murray!
I had a good doctor.
That was a 3 Murray
question. In case you're wondering, last year's overall winner was the Booker's Rye 13-year-old.
Oh.
No.
Aged whiskey, not
maybe
a child.
Maybe don't grow in about a 13-year-old.
Not a child.
Exactly. Maybe not the time.
and in 2015, overall winner was the Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye, which
right
this year
down.
Took the honors as the Canadian Whiskey of the Year.
Can I have that again, please?
It's the Crown Royal Northern Harvest
Rye. Harvest. That's the harvest was the word I didn't get.
Now, technical question.
Sure.
Now, between a whiskey, a scotch. Well, I know the difference between whiskey and scotch. So we'll take that one off the table.
Okay.
But a whiskey and a rye and a bourbon, is it how it's aged, or is rye just an ingredient?
Most of the distinction of your whiskeys has to do with the grain ingredient.
Okay.
For example, a bourbon has to be so much barley, so much rye. A rye clearly has more
rye. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know all of the particulars to differentiate all of the different categories of whiskey. But
I do know I like whiskey better than bourbon.
And I like bourbon better than, well, all both bourbons are whiskeys, whiskey, but not all whiskeys are bourbons.
Yeah. Right.
So okay,
yes. Sure.
So it, in my experience, you prefer a Canadian whiskey like a bourbon.
And then scotch wins everything. Mama likes her single malt scotch.
Right.
But she gets a little aggressive sexually.
But yeah, a large majority of the distinction is the different grains and the proportions of the grains that go into the different whiskeys.
I feel informed.
And there it is. Have some whiskey. You know what? It's whiskey season for me right now. I've recently started just drinking all of this.
I ordered a whiskey recently.
With me.
And yeah. I said, I'll join you in that whiskey.
It was a fine idea, I thought.
It was.
A lovely idea.
Warms the cockles, if you will.
You know, I have less cockles.
Than when you started this story?
I don't think I've ever heard you say a phrase about booze, about mom gets a little aggressive sexually. And it made me laugh because I thought of a phrase that somebody else said to me once. Everything's a dildo if you're brave.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Well, I think we found the name of the show.
Just write that down.
Use protection. Marnie, segue your way out of that. Speaking of.
Segue badge level 6, you were awarded.
Everybody needs a shot of whiskey when it comes to Donald.
Oh.
You know?
Oh,
yeah. Speaking of dildos, that's
the yeah, there it is.
That's your winner, chicken dinner.
You put that inside me, I'll kick you.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just the tip, sir.
Things often said on wedding nights for 200. Yeah.
So there is a gentleman, and I don't mean him in that house, that created it. It made me think of Amina because there was coding involved. Created a code because with a single burst of tweets, Trump can fire and hire a chief of staff, bar transgender soldiers from the military, and undercut negotiations with foreign nations. Like, it's just, he puts out a stupid fucking tweet and, you know, the reaction. It's diplomacy by tweeting.
So
this Mr. Nice, Russell Nice, who called it the diplomacy by tweeting, saw Pat Kunane.
Sure.
I don't know. Former member of President Barack Obama's White House staff, in which this Kunane formatted one of Trump's tweets to look, one of his posts, to look like an official statement from the office of the White House press secretary. For context, because he's president, all of Trump's tweets should be mocked up in the correct presidential statement format. It's very telling. So if you are on Twitter and you go like to @ I had it and then I lost it. Amen.
We saw those gummy bears left here. Are there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hang on. I'm responding to a friend.
Asking for a friend?
He wants to stop by and get gummy bears. He says, is it inappropriate to stop by mid-show and get gummy bears?
No, it's sure not.
Nope. Not
we got gummy bears to spare, people.
Yeah. So, @ Real Press Secretary, or @ Real Press Sec, SECBOT. So, @ Real Press Secretary Bot, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm now following it. And for immediate release, the White House Office of the Press Secretary, for immediate release, and they just take every goddamn thing he says, and he's a moron.
Oh, yeah.
So it's this official statement looking. The most important truth our founders understood was freedom is not a gift from the government. Freedom is a gift from God.
What?
These are the things he said today. Thank you, Heritage Foundation. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to revitalize our economy, revive our industry, and renew the American dream. Today, he also said, wow. That's all.
What?
Border wall prototypes underway. These are the tweets that he's
released. Right, because the argument from the Obama campaign especially, and from a lot of pundits, is that the Twitter feed should be released as official communications.
Absolutely.
Because they're from the president, and he's using... Although, does he real you still use the real Donald Trump and not the POTUS one?
Yes.
Did someone finally correct him?
No. All the time, he's still on his own.
Yes. Yeah.
So that helps a little bit, because he's not using the POTUS one that Obama tweeted from occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is some of the things coming out of his feed is that it should be made official decrees mm-hmm. and documents.
Right. It's policy. Right. Like, he's spouting policy right. from that.
It's not just that, but there should be an official record of right. writings. Mm-hmm. Anytime you write something in the Oval Office, it has to be recorded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or anything, like, as the president, all of your writings are part of your record
right.
and will go into your archives. So your right. archivist and your library will have all of your writings.
Yeah, but his library is going to be like one of those little side libraries. You know, the little children's library that's that's
our
rude.
Our apologies to the children.
To the children,
but it's
yes.
going to be Twitter because, and this comes up constantly.
Mm-hmm.
She and I both listen to
Pod Save America.
Pod Save America. Formally keeping it 1600, and they talk about that constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, these things need, are, and hopefully someone is, because he deletes a lot of tweets.
Oh, no. I'm
sure there are people, like, obsessed with that.
And you also have to remember.
Yeah, but people are keeping those.
Oh, 100%.
Right. Yeah. And because, like, even stuff that he's deleted, they've done.
Uh-huh.
But they have to go, unfortunately, they're going to, unfortunately, depends on how you're coming to the story, they're going to become his official record, and he's going to be known mm-hmm. for these. So mm-hmm. some of this shit he's been saying is just going to be emblazoned on a wall.
Oh, 100%.
Where some of the rednecks are going to be like, boy, howdy, did we love him. And other people are going to be like, historians are going to be like, what the fuck does that say?
Who said that? Right. Yeah, I mean, like, when he puts, so much fake news being put in dying magazines and newspapers. Only place worse? Maybe NBC News, CBS News, ABC News, and CNN. Fiction writers, he says. Who's buying into this shit?
Oh, there's a lot.
There are a lot.
Hell, all of the Trumpeters. They're all with him on this.
And Harrison and I have a friend. She doesn't go on Facebook, but this is breaking news for her. We have a mutual friend who's a closet Trump supporter and alleged feminist.
Yeah, you're right,
Anna. That is like now onto conspiracy theories from really right wing papers. Oh.
Like that, Jones, Alex Jones.
Oh no,
kind of
like,
stuff,
but
or?
No, but more dark web than that.
Oh, okay.
Like, posted something today and has changed her name online, so I didn't know whose post I was reading.
Dark Princess.
Right. I didn't know the new pseudonym.
Or something I don't know.
It actually had to go to a photo, and it just came up on the feed. I looked at it as a reason for the California wildfires, and I legitimately thought. Oh.
Reason for it.
No, but is there a cause? Like, because there's been a lot of talk about a downed electrical line up in the north, lightning at a certain point. There have been all these different
theories
of like how that fire up there started. And this person posted a conspiracy theory about drug cartels doing it because in Northern California they also grow medical marijuana.
Oh. Okay.
And so I read it, and I've heard, now that's it's kind of common knowledge that along with the wines burning, the marijuana fields are burning as well. So you're getting a nice high.
Mm.
But
if you don't die from the smoke.
Exactly. Wrong kind of fun. So I thought it was an interesting article. So I thought, well, this is clickbait for me. I'm curious about the fires. I'm curious because I know that this medical marijuana is burning and that might affect their industry somehow and their legalization coming up in a few months. So I clicked on the article and I read it, and it was very uncorroborated. There were no good sources to it. So then I did what I always do with any news source that I don't know. I went through and clicked on other stories, and I was like, oh my God,
crazy,
this is one of those
shit.
Crazy pages
right.
that seriously the government's going to be knocking on my door in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucked up nuts. And this is like a nice friend of Harrison and I's that I'm like, and she had told me the little Trump secret earlier in the year, but I was like, holy shit, has she drank the Kool-Aid that she's posting this stuff. And luckily, like, other friends were like, what the fuck are you doing posting this nonsense?
Right.
And I just put simply, like, I looked around this. This is a tabloid from conservatives. Look. Don't know what we're talking about anymore because I've talked myself right out of this story. Oh, these official tweets and these conspiracy theories and who believes it. Turns out I'm paying attention. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's craziness.
People think I have ADD.
That was ADHD. Oh. All up in your business.
With this at Real Pressec bot, seriously,
oh, yeah. I gotta go follow him.
It really is pretty fantastic.
And today, please tell us his name again. I'm so sorry.
The gentleman who's running the bot, Neiss, the first person who wrote something and stated that this needed to be done was someone from the Obama administration.
Right, and I feel like I just heard...
Pat Cunane, or C-U-N-N-A-N-E.
Yes, I just heard an interview with him recently. That's why I'm so, like, down with this story.
He was part of Obama's White House staff, but this Mr. Neiss, Russell Neiss, is a software engineer for an educational technology nonprofit. And he saw that this Cunane had done this, changed it into an official statement, a looking official statement from the White House. And he thought, I need to do that to all of them. So that's where he wrote the code, went through, and had that all done.
What, curiously, is the date on your article?
October 15th, 2017.
Interesting. Because I'm on Twitter trying to follow the bot, and all references to it lead nowhere, as if the account has been disabled.
Oh.
Real Press with two S's. Oh, maybe I need one more S.
Yeah, it's at Real Press Sec.
Aha.
Bot.
Never mind, my fault. Please misspelling. Home. Found. Followed. Done.
Oh, got it. Oh, God damn.
I was like, wow, that came down. The fact that yesterday... It has the White House, obviously, official office of the press secretary, for immediate release, October 16th, 2017, statement by the president. I was recently asked if Crooked Hillary is going to run in 2020. My answer was, I hope so.
Ugh.
Shut up. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, is going to be, like you said, Al, this is what's going to be with him forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he can't read, and he can't really write unless it's with crayon in his, you know, his little books. Look at what I did.
And if you don't remind him, he doesn't sign the things he shows up to sign.
Well, and how, you know, at least good, even George W., That
looks pretty good right now, doesn't he?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Rhodes fucking scholar.
He was reading a book upside down at one point.
Yeah.
And you know, you sit there like,
we long for the days.
And then you have this dickbag who is sitting in the Rose Garden talking with the leader of Greece, the Prime Minister of Greece today.
Right.
And, you know, this is the same prime minister who, months before everything came to pass with him becoming president, stated, you know, basically that Donald Trump is evil.
Right.
And we don't want
to
be.
We don't want to go down that road or something to that effect.
Right. And so then that was presented today. And he just, everything about him sitting there, he's trying to read somebody gave him something. He's like...
in there somewhere.
Wait a minute. who are you again?
Yeah.
Oh, page 12?
I wonder if the...
it just is amazing.
I wonder if the teleprompter is spelled phonetically.
Oh, no.
For real.
It clearly can't be, because all of the times that he reads a word that he thinks is going to be something... When he said he actually said... Have you not really seen this? He goes, something, something... And the furniture of our children and their future,
too.
Stop it. Oh, God.
Oh, no. There's an entire reel that was made. Actually, I think it was, look back, I do believe it was The Daily Show. Could have been I believe The Daily Show went back. Also, Chris Hayes has done it, because there was an entire segment we did about the fact that he can't read. And they put together all the times that he says the word just because he reads like the first five letters and thinks it's whatever.
Oh.
So he actually said something about the rebuilding of the furniture for the children and their future.
Wow. He's Selena Meyers. I do not know how to tell you this, people. If you're not watching Veep, They predicted this shit years ago.
Selena Meyer is so much smarter than him.
Oh, no, no. And she hangs herself on her own retard. I mean, that... Seriously. And the episode where the teleprompter goes down and she has to stall till the power comes back up.
Right.
It's genius. Yeah. And who knew she was making a documentary, not biting satire?
Yeah, seriously.
We all did. And Jonah Ryan is running for president. And if you're friends with Timothy Simmons, I got to ask him how to pronounce that name because I reference him so much. If you're friends with him on Facebook, you're really friends with him. And he's changed his... Facebook page to Jonah Ryan for president, and they have t-shirts, and it just makes me wonder, like, if in the last season Jonah Ryan is going to become president, and that would just make dreams
be
come
wonderful,
true.
Right?
Plus, it sets it up for the spinoff I've been waiting for. So, are you done? May I? Because I've been pissing all over it so far.
Please do.
So,
I just thought it was fantastic. It was like
UFOs are real.
I know.
Something extraordinary was revealed today, 10/11/2017.
Thank you.
Former high-level officials and scientists with deep black experience who have always remained in the shadows came forward on one platform. These insiders have long-standing connections to government agencies which may have programs investigating unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, or UFOs as they're more commonly known. The team includes a 25-year veteran of the CIA's Directorate. Oh, this is why I had my glasses on. This is why I had glasses on earlier. Director of Operations, a Lockheed Martin program, Director for Advanced Systems at Skunk Works, and a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. Today marked the official 10/11 launch of To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, an innovative public benefit corporation which will advance research into unexplained phenomena and develop related technology. It has established three synergistic divisions, science, aerospace, entertainment, and we believe these are discoveries within our reach that will revolutionize the human experience, says the company's president. Please. I briefly vetted this story, but it's on HuffPost and not in a comedy section at all. But according to the head of the TTS AAS statement, it's team members who have been operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades. They believe that there is sufficient credible evidence of UAP or UFOs that proves exotic technologies exist that could revolutionize the human experience. This could represent the beginning of a trend towards a new openness of the part of the U.S. government. These people with no more than any of us, they will be releasing important data on the UAP in the future. Our first thing, we want that goddamn explain to us. The dreamy draw.
Oh,
dam.
The dreamy draw. Where and my cell phone goes out every time
every
I drive
time,
down.
Because it's a goddamn UFO. Mm-hmm. And we want Area 51. Mm-hmm. Area 51 explained. And now from something that I read that was also not from like the crazy part of the interwebs.
Sure.
Was that Area 51, they were gonna like just get all the information out there. That something with WikiLeaks or one of those people had kind of released the information. It's kind of just sitting, that it just wasn't like the right time to do it, but that it's
there's a time thing on classified information too, where it eventually comes into the public domain, and we got to be awfully close to that with Area 51,
right? So it's interesting that this is coming up, and it's coming up on a legitimate site. It's on HuffPost. It's not in the comedy section. And, I mean, it's just about this Department of Defense official who only left his position last week has confirmed that an official UFO program exists, answering a question so many have debated and speculated about for decades. And that his name is Lou. L-U-E is his last name. And that he does not speak for the Department of the Defense because he's not with it. That this information is coming out because, as all of you know, after serial killers, my favorite thing is like the paranormal and all that shit, because I just found it fast. And it's too big of a universe for it to be only us. That's
totally
just egotistical and asinine to think.
I'm pretty sure aliens came here, looked around, and went,
fuck no.
I'm out.
And
fuck,
they came back and they
people.
Thought, why is
well,
he
they
orange?
All they have to do is see Donald Trump, and they're going to be like, no.
And may I mention, just in passing, mm-hmm, to Columbo this story. Mm-hmm.
Just one more thing.
I mentioned it only in passing. Yeah. Well, something's really, really, really fucking off with the Donald's hairspray game the last 2 days.
No.
Like, whatever.
Just now?
Put that cake out in the rain. Oh, no, it was ugly. But it was groomed.
It was molded.
You knew that he could not make a spontaneous. That this is not a man who's going to get up out of bed at 3 a.m. and stand in front of a camera. Because first you got to make the cotton candy, then you got to paint it orange. There's a lot going into that shit. And she's eating the melon. That just reminds me of the motherfucker. So I just got to tell you, there are no spontaneous meetings. Mm-hmm. But the last 2 days, he has come undone. Mm-hmm. Like that one streak of hair that clearly goes from like his right testicle up over his ear and cuts around to the left side of his face was seriously not shellacked in place. And it was upsetting because I thought, okay, the hairdresser's gone because that's the person that knows all the secrets.
Well, because there was the, I think it was it Washington Post? I don't know. It was on all the podcasts that I listened to. They mentioned it about this story from, you know, all of these anonymous sources from inside the White House about him, like, basically just stomping around mumbling to himself about he fucking hates everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening.
Oh, God.
It's so scary.
He's talking to the paintings.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Biden, and then, they like me better than you. I'm sure they do. And what he's just weird.
Yeah. And it's gotten, it went.
I mean, he is so, like, so the Prime Minister of Greece is responding to what Dickbag read from somebody else.
Sure.
And he's like, Trump is standing there, you know. He's got that thing in his ear, and I'm certain it was playing Paula Abdul. You know, he wasn't listening to a fucking thing that was being said.
I hope it was opposites attract.
I believe it probably. Really
one going up, one going down, but we seem to land on common ground.
Or cold hearted snake.
Snake.
I enjoy both of those things.
He is standing there, you know, holding the podium. Doing his crack.
Holding his podium.
Yeah. doing his little crack move with his jaw that he does. You know, his little like, he's just cracked out. And looking out at the reporters, and I was waiting for him to be like, how you doing?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't pointing and winking, but he might as well have been.
Right.
This guy's over here talking. And he's like this.
Well, because he's got
and
that.
He's looking over here, and I thought, what are you doing?
Someone told him that's active listening. Like, you know what I mean? He can't even understand active listening. Uh-huh. He fucks it up. But watch, it's the video where he talks about the first attempt at accusing Obama of not calling the fallen families. Soldiers' families. Mm-hmm. The first video of him doing that is where he looks off his rocker, and that one strand of hair is just distracting. But then the second video where the guy from NBC tells him he's an asshole and he tries to back it up and says, well, people told me. I mean, that head of hair has gone bonkers. It's gone Albert Einstein on it.
I have to get most of my Trump news like third hand. Like I can't watch. I do not have the constitution to sit and watch.
I've just been off, so MSNBC plays in the other room, so I'll walk in and watch something, because it's one of those things that just struck me as like, okay, no one's that low that you would accuse Obama of not like calling families or doing anything for servicemen's families.
Sure is.
Oh, sure is. There is no bottom.
Oh, somebody told me that.
So I had to go in and look, and then I was like, oh, and then I wanted to see, and MSNBC was right on it, and they were like, no, this one doesn't go unremarked. So it was something else later that he was talking about, and they put the camera back, and I'm like, oh, the hairdresser's gone. She quit.
Speaking of that, nobody could be that low. Today, Nicole Wallace started her show, and she said, you know, about a year ago, I started one of these shows, and I started out by saying, hello, the bottom's calling. Have you reached us yet? Turns out, no. She literally said that today in reference to his comments.
She and I are.
I still love me some Nicole Wallace.
Every time I hear her name, I think of you.
And cheers to her.
I'm enjoying her more. I did not like her on The View.
Oh, I did.
I like her much more on this. After this election, when it all went ugly, and her party that she was part of, because even she's like, I'm not even a Republican anymore. She goes, I can't stand all of this. And she goes after people. I enjoy the shit out of her now.
I like her
because
a lot.
She knows she has experience. And with one of the things
she's
that
been
held,
in those trenches.
Right. One of the things that held her back at The View was they were always trying to push some kind of celebrity angle that she didn't know. Oh. That she just wasn't familiar with.
Right.
And people were not appreciating her sense of humor. Like, this is a funny woman. Like,
she's really, she is really funny.
They made a TV movie about her, and the woman who played her won an Emmy because she was so good. Like, she's that good of a character that playing her wins you awards. Like, there's a humor there that just got lost, and it was that year that The View was really off kilter, and they were trying to skew towards that young girl from The Cosby Show.
Raven Simone.
And Michelle Collins, who's a funny comedian, but really out of her depth, but knew her celebrities. Right. So they were going for a different kind of comedy, and I kept finding Nicole Wallace to be very funny.
Yes,
because they were still trying to come out of politics and recover from...
Right. From the 2012 election.
Yeah.
And blah.
Yep.
Or 13 or 14 or 15, whatever year that was. I think it was, she came in after the midterms. I think she was that the 2015 right. year.
Yep.
I believe it's your story.
It is. I just was doing a whole bunch
of everything. That's
I was
going
doing
on
a
here.
Whole bunch of other stuff while we were doing that, so I could. I'm trying to do a lot of stuff right now. Very busy. Let's go back to.
I was ready to do an ad.
Huh? No, that's all right.
Doing ads now
for this.
I can pull. Yeah. A live TV shot about a potential big cat sighting in Hernando, Mississippi.
Hernando.
I've never heard of Hernando, Mississippi. But it got an unexpected feline visitor last week, but it was a whole lot smaller than the cougar that had been reportedly seen in the area.
This is cute.
Let's cut to the cougar video. See if this will. Well, see if
I'm unaware of 99% of Mississippi, so they can name a town anything.
What are phrases said in North Scottsdale? Cut to the cougar.
Cut to the cougar.
Right. Where's the?
She's in the mall, Jack. She's in the mall.
So they cut to a live shot of this cat.
That's but hang fantastic.
On, here I've got the video. Where did it go? Hang on, I've got the video.
Put it next
of this
to a dollar say, bill. I don't
the
have
the actual video is really cute. No, the actual video is really cute.
I believe I have it here. Let's see if this goes to.
I'm Scott Mattis, live in Hernando, Mississippi, where there's been spottings of a cougar, and that's not it. That looks like a house cat. That just away from where a local man rolled his cell
tell me the cougar eats it.
On what some say. Is a cougar. I'll be right back with a live report.
No, that just sucks. He's going for a live shot. Yeah. He's excited in the morning. He's going to it, and he tosses to the area where it was, and there's just...
That's
a house cat.
That's a house cat.
That's not... That is not
is
it.
Is that your pussy? No, that's
no,
a house cat,
it.
Bob.
That's fantastic.
Quick thinking, though, Bob. Quick thinking.
I love
that little clip.
Sitting in the clearing with the words, large spotted cat under the screen was a thoroughly unimpressed house cat.
Bravo, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Speaking of thoroughly unimpressed, you're going to be thoroughly unimpressed by this story because a report released on Wednesday by the United Nations revealed that the United States continues to lead the world in the highest per capita density of Kevins of any nation. That's right. Ranked against the rest of the international community, the U.S., is far and away the global leader in Kevins, with upwards of 27 Kevins per square mile in most major back that up.
Yep,
I'm
unimpressed.
I'm unimpressed with my reading skills.
So are we.
Aren't we all? Yeah.
With upwards of 27 Kevins per square mile in most major American urban centers, when adding,
wow, reading is hard.
God damn it, I got
it's
lost.
Fundamental.
Well, don't know why she doesn't work for Scholastic anymore.
I can't read.
Did they revoke your membership?
Oh,
to I got
reading?
Fired for lack of reading.
Would you like to start over, Ms. Carlson?
No, I'm just going to plow right through.
Yeah, okay,
I'm
good.
Just going to keep. Like, I'm going to keep on.
Fresh Calgary snow. Just keep going. Okay.
Now. You can add that when factoring in the nation's Kevins, the density, or when factoring in the nation's Kevins.
I got drunk.
Was that her problem?
No, I'm just pointing it out. In an alternate universe.
Thank you for the update.
I was drunk.
You have 27 Kevins per square mile in most major American urban centers, but when you factor in the nation's Kevs, the density nearly doubles. They say there are certain areas of Australia and the United Kingdom and Canada where the concentration of Kevins is high, but they are all well short of the United States Kevin population across all demographics. And when we look at the benchmark of Kevin to John ratio, No country comes even remotely close to the staggering 0.205 figure that the U.S. posted in 2013. That was supposed to be a lot funnier. Marty Ryer, to you.
Wait, I have a follow-up question.
I'm sure you do. I don't even know what to say.
Damn it.
All right. Two things.
Oh.
First, how do I get rid of this goddamn keyboard with all these swipe stroke shits that's on my new...
Oh.
The new update for iPad.
Does anybody know
what he's talking about? Of all...
Isn't there a little arrow that makes it go down?
Right. Yeah, but... Oh, I don't get it. Just get rid of this shit, because it keeps making periods and... fucking shit. But I go back to the chat room where we're playing along, and where the fuck did that name come from? What? Like, what is Kevin from? Like, John's you get from the Bible, Matthew's you get from the Bible. We've had a whole conversation about this on Ancestry.com, which turns out I was a coffee bean.
Oh.
Because I forgot to not eat or drink before I spit into the thing, so I did my renewed sample today.
Shut up.
Yeah, I came back as grown somewhere in Central Africa. Coffee. Yeah. She's a plant.
So the
anyways,
they sent
you a new one and said, try again, darling.
Yeah. Sweetheart, let's do this
again.
Hang
on, you've asked two questions and I've given
funny.
No answers.
Sorry.
Here are your answers in reverse order. First is your second question. The name Kevin is an Irish name. The meaning of the name is handsome by birth.
Oh.
That's right.
Origin, like say it in its original Gaelic.
Say it soft and it's almost like praying.
Kevin.
Shut the fuck up. We can't even Pietro that shit up? No? Nothing?
No.
All right.
No. First of all, I don't do the accents on this show.
Come on.
Not my job.
Second of all, that's on purpose because I'm shitty at them unless you're speaking the accent to me and then I'll spit it right back.
They all just end up Jamaican.
Now to your first question, can we look at that at a break or some sort, or should we do that on the air?
Well, I'm just saying that the people that think I've got some kind of a stroke situation going on as they're watching my typing because there's periods and capital letters showing up.
You know those are supposed to be in written speech.
Well, sure.
Not where I'm putting them.
We can
Fair
defer
point.
To an editor
right.
if you want
Well, that makes sense. And I only mentioned the Ancestry.com thing because in the middle of Ruth's and Elizabeth's and all these biblical names, I have an aunt named Alberta. So I'm like, where the fuck? All religious names. Everybody has a religious name. And then all of a sudden, Alberta shows up. So I'm like... Did you just have so many kids that the Bible ran out of names?
That happens.
You know what I mean? And it was the weird thing.
Well, they went from the Bible to the Farmer's Almanac, maybe.
Oh,
I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah. Or the map.
But it was odd. And
maybe somebody visited Canada.
And again, the problem was I brought the question up to this one, who was like, Bible, what? Didn't know.
Is Alberta, where's Alberta in Canada?
Straight up.
Yeah, from New York?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And not where
like,
anybody would have been from.
Know.
And not where no one would have been from the plains. Ooh. But very, just, ooh, he's got a boyfriend. And Nana's a boyfriend. So it was just weird that
okay.
when all of a sudden.
It says it's a cute boyfriend name.
Oh, Anant, I'm sorry.
We've already covered. Reading is hard.
Yeah, apparently.
It is. And I just gave Anant love and took it away.
Yeah.
I hope you had protection while
Damn
it was there.
Damn it, Kevin.
Fuck. Sorry, Annette. All right.
Somebody come up with
Whose
a segue. Get us out of
story?
This.
Well, it has nothing to do with anyone named Kevin, but I'm going to try to read better.
I'll allow it. That's a badge 5.
That bar is low right now.
So low. But it goes back to someone who can't read, and that would be Trump, speaking of not being able to read.
I feel an obsession underneath this.
Well, it is kind of the obsession, because it goes to your story, to a degree, about, you know, hey, Obama didn't, and other presidents,
yeah,
they probably didn't ever contact anyone. Well, a little bit ago, today, Trump, President Dickbag, contacted the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Tell us.
He said to the widow in like a 3 to 5 minute conversation, he knew what he signed up for. That's what he said to the pregnant widow.
Shut the fuck up.
He knew what he signed up for.
But that's what one of Bush's people said about, or not Bush's people, it's what one of the people said in response to rape in the military. And
that's
somebody
right.
find out who said that. Was it Sarah Palin that said, we kind of signed up for that, you should expect to be raped?
Well, it was...
I honestly don't know that.
I know it was Don Jr. that said if women can't handle the sexual harassment, then they shouldn't be in the workplace.
That's right.
No, but
that's
earlier
right.
early than this tribe of goofballs...
Morons.
Like maybe in 2012.
Yeah, I think it was Sarah Palin.
So President Donald Trump, which is just an oxy fucking moron, told U.S. Army Sergeant LaDava Johnson's widow Tuesday that he knew what he signed up for, but when it happens, it hurts anyway. Speaking of how Johnson died serving in northwestern Africa. Yes, he said it. It's so insensitive. He should have not said that. He just shouldn't have said it. The widow has stated. The president called about 4:45, spoke to Johnson's pregnant widow for about 5 minutes. She is also the mother to Johnson's surviving 2-year-old son and 6-year-old daughter. The conversation happened before Johnson's remains arrived at Miami International Airport. A top advisor later told Local 10 News, the president's conversations with the families of American heroes who have made the ultimate sacrifice are private. It's not that they're private. It's not a matter of it being private. It's a matter of you don't, just because they're private, you don't say that kind of fucking thing. You just don't.
No.
I don't give a shit how private something is supposed to be. You don't make that comment. I can't.
No.
Like, I can't. So, Wilson watched as the widow, who was expecting their third baby in January, leaned over the U.S. flag that was draping Johnson's casket. Her pregnant belly was shaking against the casket as she sobbed uncontrollably. And think that just before this, the supposed president of the United States said, well, he knew what he signed up for. Oh, my God. It sounds like somebody saying, you know, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You'll be fine. Anyway, there was absolute silence as this was going on. Local politicians, police officers, and firefighters lined up to honor Johnson for his service, unlike our supposed president did, and his service, and for the efforts and discipline that got the former, he was a former Walmart employee, to defy all odds and become a 25-year-old member of the 3rd Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg. It just was, it really does, whenever I read this stuff. And so, yeah, is it an obsession? Yeah, it is.
Oh, no.
Because it's unacceptable. It's just, this is stuff that, you know, you want to claim that Obama didn't make phone calls or that no one else did this or whatever. But you cannot contact.
No, and say, and finish your outrage.
I don't even know how to finish my outrage.
Yeah,
because
I
sit there and I think, how is it that these supposed people that you're talking about that are in these large numbers that are going to read his tweets, that are going to be slapped in an alley somewhere and we're going to call it a library, and they're going to be posted up on the wall.
And you're going to have next to a fallen soldier.
Wow.
Well, you signed up for this.
There you go. Right. Hashtag you signed up for this. What the fuck? And this woman has to, I can't even fathom what she's thinking. She's already going through grief, lost the whole nine yards. She has
her worst fear realized.
Absolutely. She has 2 children at home already, a third on the way. And you're going to tell a pregnant woman that just lost her husband? What kind of trauma?
And I want to tell you that my inner monologue is always, I just want to take a baseball bat to his head. That's what my inner monologue is for this man. Like, it doesn't get any higher. There's no higher brain function. There's no like, oh, I'd like to teach him something. Nope, I want to take a Louisville slugger to 4 headlights or whatever that line is.
Yeah, I know.
Sure.
Did you already talk about the news conference where he said that he said that he called, nobody else ever did.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. And then when pressed about it, he lost it and like changed the whole topic.
That's the hair comment.
I didn't see it. I heard it.
Yeah. Oh, no. You got to watch it because you got to watch that thing on his head die.
I listen to it in the background while I'm doing stuff. But okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where. And this is after that. I mean, to.
Yeah.
It startles me, and it's
hard to wrap your brain around.
It really,
because it's really our first like crackpot leader. You know what I mean? Like, we watch all the Looney Tunes around the world and we go, oh, what a terrible shame.
A peanut farmer from Georgia looks like a fucking Einstein.
By the way,
he was
an Einstein.
He's an amazing. But the jokes were when he came into office, how the hell is a peanut farmer,
right.
I mean, not that I remember by reading about it. I don't fully remember at the time. But yeah, how is he going to govern the country? He's just a peanut farmer from Georgia.
He doesn't know.
And then Reagan, well, he's just an actor from Hollywood. And it went on and on and on.
Right.
You know, and then everybody made fun of her. So, yeah, we weren't happy with everybody who was there. But my God, this is the bottom of the barrel.
I don't know that we're there yet.
He has a shovel because he keeps digging. He's like, oh, you think we're at the bottom?
Yeah, I don't.
Let me show you.
I don't think we're there yet.
I mean bottom of the barrel as far as people are concerned.
Oh, as far as he's quite possibly one of the worst people.
No, I don't think we're at the bottom. I think he will yet insult somebody else. Like, I'm surprised that we really don't have people shooting missiles at us and trying to reach just Washington itself.
Well, because even the craziest of all of the other leaders in the world understand that
he's crazy.
We kind of don't want it's self-preservation. Like, we kind of don't want our people to die.
Right.
Oh, and they do know that when we come, if whoever designates that we come back, we'll come back. When he made the comment,
luckily, even science deniers understand what nuclear fallout is and the range of it. Like, any counterstrike wipes out everything.
Everyone in the hemisphere and beyond, right?
Well, yeah. One thing that I do want to follow up for with the widow is the last name of someone who really should be called president, Clinton. Because Chelsea Clinton...
I saw her tweet.
Yeah. Chelsea Clinton, upon seeing the president's words, she was there. And upon seeing the president's words completely devoid of empathy, issued her own statement to Mrs. Johnson that was decidedly more presidential. David Johnson was lost in an ambush along with Sergeant Brian Black, 35 years old, Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, 39 years old, and Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright, 29. It is unclear if Trump has contacted those families yet. And if he does,
I hope they don't pick up the phone.
I hope they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I just hope that they're like, fuck you.
Yeah, we'll go on your third try at empathy because your first two are probably
going to
suck.
The president, going to Al's story and what Clayton was just talking about, the president has spent the last few days insinuating that Obama had failed to console the grieving families of fallen soldiers in a timely fashion to cover up the fact that Trump simply didn't care enough to respond to their deaths until he was publicly forced to by the media.
Yeah, 2 weeks had passed.
While excusing his own delay, Trump claimed that while he has traditionally called the families of slain soldiers, past presidents didn't make the calls. And where is Chelsea's? I'm looking for her thing. And
everybody took on the attack. Everybody, because the Obama White House and all of their minions went publicly ape shit.
Well, and
like that's where they were like, all right, he may be staying silent wherever he's hiding, but we will not stand for this.
Well, they even dug up video. It was on MSNBC. In fact, I think Peter Alexander, who was at that press conference earlier today with the Greek prime minister, they immediately were showing footage of Obama actually walking off a cargo plane like to a ceremony to receive the remains
at
of
Dover.
A,
is it Dover?
Dover. And this is his thing was, and a lot of presidents don't. They write letters. I do a combination of both. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do, but I do a combination of both, you know, because he is so good.
That letter
President
writing.
Obama, I think, probably did sometimes, and maybe sometimes he didn't. I don't know. That's what I was told.
Yeah. But I love that.
You're a child. What is fucking wrong with you?
Yeah. When he announced it as fact, he goes, well, I don't know. I was just told that. Like,
yeah.
But you would
I
spout
wasn't
off.
I was celebrating that.
No.
You'd spout that off that way?
Well, and when the bodies of the four men that were killed in Niger were brought back to America, he was golfing.
Yeah.
Bitching about the NFL. It happened the same weekend as the NFL.
That's right.
About Hillary fucking Clinton.
That's right.
That's my segue.
And really, rest in peace. Like that, you know, that's what it comes down to. Just rest in peace to these four gentlemen.
I feel like you had something to say.
Please.
Oh, I would just really? There's just so many things bouncing around right now in the conversation.
I know.
More coffee. No, that's not the answer.
Hang on, no.
It was worth a try.
Go ahead. Go ahead with your other story. I'll remember.
Well, I was just going to load onto that. Now, not as a defense, but as a separate topic. The topic of the grieving, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. In a grieving situation, and as like cards get passed around work when someone has, and a family member has died, you just sit pen to paper. If you've ever been on the other side of the death slogans, and you, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to be good.
No.
My go-to is stay strong.
Yeah.
That's all. That's it. It's vague.
Very nice.
It offers empathy? I don't know.
It works really well in a hashtag.
But thinking of you seems... I probably thought of you earlier today. I don't know why, but there's... And when people come up to you if you're grieving after the loss, a loss of a loved one, the things they say, the horror of it. So you would...
They're in a better place.
Oh.
Right. Please.
Or by better place, I mean my freezer. If you're not going to follow that up with a really good office quote, if you're not going to make me laugh.
Would you sign here for the movie rights to this?
See? If you can make it funny, if you there's a way.
There's no inappropriateness
to it. There's no appropriateness to it. But then to have something official come at you, which should be carefully thought out, processed, and been put through 9 million filters, and should be so bland as to be not affect you any. You should just read it and go like, all right, that's useless. You know what I mean? That's the level that it should hit you.
Trump needs to work for Dove.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does.
And I'm sorry. I'm not
applauding you. They're just near the Smarties.
I was
it's some kind of trap.
Move the bell. I don't know if you went back through this story. I was busy doing some other technical things. Night before last, or was it? No, last night. When Rachel opened her show, she did an entire... You know how she loves to tell stories, and she backtracks you through a whole bunch of shit to get to where we are?
The Rumsfeld thing?
The Rumsfeld. Oh, yeah. That story. But before that, it was she I didn't know where the hell we were going. She started it with a very decorated soldier who had been through Army, or I think a Marine, actually, went through this whole story. Then he got out of it.
Lied to get into Korea, served in Vietnam, the most decorated.
Had a bum on the street vouched as his father so he could start in the military early. Anyway, goes through this whole story. Well, he's the reporter that came back that figured out the Rumsfeld thing with the rubber stamping. But it was just a very intricate story about how all this came to light and how everything got exposed with all of that stuff. But it was fascinating to me. And I never thought about it, I guess because I never thought that anybody would think to rubber stamp something like that ever, because it is because it's such a solemn thing. And yes, it's your country, and I realize we lose a lot of people because they're fighting.
But when you're doing 1,000 a week, somebody somewhere in an office that has to sign those horrible things is going to go.
Yeah, then don't start a war. If you're not willing to sign 1,000 things a week.
If I've learned anything by paying attention to politics and government, it's that logic cause and effect do not exist.
I'm just making the observation of I cannot imagine, just rubber stamping people's deaths and moving on. I get it. If you're the coroner and your job is just you're processing death certificates and that's it, but you're the leaders of a country, to me, I just can't fathom that you're just going to rubber stamp stuff. I get a form letter. But
signed
somebody
personally. Right, exactly. Well, and you want it filtered down to make sure that it doesn't say something. Like, you want people to read it who've experienced loss. They're like, okay, get rid of that.
You can't say that.
Get out of there.
And I think the point to Rachel's very elaborate, and I like that we all watched it, spiel on this was that this was what we thought was the bottom. Here's where 13 years ago in 2004, this is what we, and it took a decorated former Army vet expat living in Australia as a blah, blah, blah.
Well, he was almost like, felt like he was excommunicated from the country, but then he came back.
Expat, yeah. That's what expat is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So went to Australia, blah, 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 did that. And then came back as a journalist, a military journalist or a Pentagon journalist. And I really, really liked that she was saying, here's where 13 years ago we thought the bottom was, and we thought this decorated hero showed us the depths of depravity. And it turns out...
Nope.
No.
There's a whole nother level.
No. We were three planets and two skyscrapers away from the bottom.
Yep. Yeah, this is...
Measuring, rounding up.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
Well, oh no. Mm-mm.
And just to finish this, Chelsea Clinton's tweet.
Oh, is that what the story was about? Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm going. No, no, no. I found...
I'm hiding everything.
Okay,
I'm drunk.
I have. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. So Chelsea Clinton, instead of saying, well, he knew what he signed up for, said, Mrs. Johnson, I cannot begin to imagine your loss. Your family and all who mourn Sergeant Johnson are in my prayers and those of countless Americans. That's what she says.
Mm-hmm. Former first daughter.
Right. Former first daughter.
Right.
And our president...
Can't get his thumb out of his ass long enough to figure out which way the wind's blowing.
No.
Or learn to read.
Because we elected an illiterate, racist reality star as president.
Like, I like how you're trying to justify how this works, Kat.
We're getting what we asked for, guys.
We're getting what they asked for.
No. We're getting what Susan Sarandon asked for.
Fucking Susan
Sarandon.
Fair point. Anyway, digress, but that's... A fucking shame.
Our stories are long today.
They're very good. The whole show's been off kilter for stories. Do you have something else to
of
scream about?
I do. Not just pissing on your stories.
I don't have any more stories. We're going to outro this hour in just a second, but I want to make sure you're ready for all of that.
So the NFL and the NFLPA released statement on productive social change inequality meeting. NFL spokesman, that guy. Oh, and it turns out I hit a link to Twitter. I can't seem to get out of.
NFLPA is the
Players Association.
Thank you. I was going to ask.
Released a joint statement Tuesday from the league and the NFL Players Association that said they held a meeting to discuss the ongoing protests during the national anthem. The statement said the two parties had a productive meeting focused on how we can work together to promote positive social change and address inequality in our communities. So here is their official statement. Today, owners and players had a productive meeting focused on how we can work together and promote positive social change and address inequality in our communities. NFL executives and owners joined NFLPA executives and player leaders to review and discuss plans to utilize their platform. Oh, Jesus. I thought this was more exciting. As we said last week, everyone who is part of our NFL community has a tremendous respect for our country, our flag, our anthem, and our military. In the best American tradition, we are coming together to find common ground. Okay, so this is a bunch of bullshit. This was like a meeting where I work, where all we did was say what the meeting was about and release it as a statement. So this bullshit's still going on. But the NFL owners had said they had sided with Trump and said they were going to issue a mandate saying, if you don't stand for the anthem, we are going to be able to get rid of you, without realizing there kind of was a big common bond and no one's going to stand for someone being fired for demonstrating free speech. Now, yes, the yokels in the redneck places that have football teams, and guess what? There's not a lot of them because there's not a lot of football teams in flyover states, in case you haven't noticed.
It's a true story.
New York has 3. LA has like 5. Okay. Texas has 4.
This is the first time I think he's ever whispered.
It's just a little secret about Middle American football teams. They don't have a lot of them. Yeah. Neither Dakota, Wyoming. No, Louisiana, find one. Yeah, they have one. Alabama, nope.
Yeah.
Don't got one.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mississippi?
Kentucky, nope. Don't got one. So a lot of these little flyover states, like let's say West Virginia, guess what they don't have? Football teams.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that for a second when you decide who you're going to insult in the NFL and who's going to those games, because those games are kind of near big cities.
Uh-huh.
So just think that through.
Sure.
And you know what that is? News.
Yeah.
Because you know who doesn't know it? The NFL owners. Mm. They haven't figured out that our drive to work to these big stadiums in downtown cities, you know what they're not far from? Downtown cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's an important lesson to learn. Guess who's not in the heartland? NFL teams, you goddamn motherfuckers.
I'm going to need you to drink less wine.
Might have been the coffee. But it really, it's the, is unencumbered, unadulterated rage at these people in Middle America and these people that are doing this traditional central values about blah, 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 blah. Well, if they had such traditional values, then build a goddamn professional sports stadium near where you live. Because you know what? They don't got one.
Sure.
because they need to be near big cities where people can afford to go to these games.
Right. Right.
So think it through before the NFL immediately went from owners make this decision to make this decree to like, excuse me, guess what? Don't do that.
Yeah, to the Players Association. Like, right. Imagine how quick this turns if the Players Association decides, well, we're not playing.
Somewhere there's a gay guy that brings them all Starbucks coffees that's like, excuse me. No, you don't have football teams there.
You can't do that. Right. But what is interesting on this topic...
Have you noticed the race of most of your players?
Yeah. What will be kind of interesting to watch in the next week or two on this topic is that the NBA is starting their season.
Yes.
And so we're going to find out, is this going to like leak into other public figures and
stupid
other
question.
Sports?
Has it to baseball? Because I haven't paid any attention. I haven't seen that.
I don't think that I've seen anything on it.
Because you're talking the national pastime, right?
And now the weird thing is I don't know where the players are in baseball. Now, in baseball, that's where you get into those flyover states. That's right. Where those middle America towns have teams. Because that truly is America's pastime.
Yep.
And if I'm not wrong, and I may be, the WNBA had a much more united front than even the NFL did. The WNBA, towards the end of their season, were way better at this protest and had a lot more solidarity.
You get a lot of angry women. That's why. Yeah, they get shit done.
But curious if people paid attention because they were women.
Right. Did they pay attention?
Right.
Which would segue beautifully into my entertainment section, but I don't know what time it is.
Yeah. It's time for entertainment.
Actually. But before we jump into entertainment, I want to show you. Before we jump into entertainment.
That was more startling than that. Sorry.
Order in the court. This is the screenshot Kat took. And then this is the screenshot that Joe sent us from his thing. So in one you're not looking at it, and the other you are.
I forgot to send you the one that I fixed because I peed all over it with my logo on my website and I posted it on Facebook.
But that's a terrific picture.
It is. That's a good picture.
Yes. Oh, put that on the Facebook.
Well, we'll get there.
I did.
We'll get there.
Look at my big pendulous breast.
But while we're doing this, let's go Al Perkins with Entertainment Al. It's Al's tease. Here we go.
I got drunk.
I know.
Somebody let me get drunk. All right. So we have yet another Netflix show. I think Netflix and I have to have an intervention because something's gone really wrong.
No, it's amazing.
Couple of movie reviews and then a couple things I wrote down, but not much. Because somebody's got to shorten this show.
For real.
Oh, and a fix for a show and something that we all need to watch, which would double as my obsession had we not cut it. And we're going to talk about Amina's obsession.
All right. We got that coming up from Al Perkins in hour three, starting right after this. Please stick with us, won't you?
I'm here because I burned some bridges at Wendy's.
You're listening to Q Talk America.